you listen to Son of God, Eternal Savior. And here we are on Lawn Gospel Worldwide KFUO. And being a Tuesday, this is a hymn we're going to be looking at with the help of our good friend, the Reverend Dr. His Most Highness Mark Smith.
What an introduction. Tom, what are you up to these days? I hear you're preaching out at, you preached out at Ebenezer Lutheran Church.
The weather is beautiful, yes. I really agree with you on... Oh, that was a different question. Oh, your wife told you to give a different question. Okay. No, I had the opportunity of preaching at Ebenezer in Leslie, Missouri.
Leslie, Missouri.
It's out on Highway 50. Not far from where I also have been preaching quite a bit in Rosebud. So, really great people.
Oh, good people out there. Salt of the earth, you betcha.
We had a great time in the Bible study and such. In fact, I'm doing three congregations during the week now, Bible studies, in the Central West End. If you're in that area, it's Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, Missouri, 9733 Olive Boulevard, and that's at 11 a.m. today, Tuesday. Then Wednesday night, I'm going to be at Hope High Ridge at 7 o'clock, and we're doing a parable on the talents. I love that parable because hardly anybody's got that one right.
And except you, oh great one.
I'm a super plagiarist, so I borrow it from seminary professors. And then on Thursday night at Trinity in, where's that at?
Trinity?
Yes. Orchard Farm.
Oh, Orchard Farms, of course.
In St. Charles. Yes. So I'm in the mid area of St. Louis on Tuesdays. Wednesdays, I'm kind of south over on Gravois Road. And then on Thursdays in the St. Charles area.
Well, you're all over the place, aren't you?
No, I'm not God. You keep getting me mixed up there, Pastor Smith. You know, so today we're doing a hymn. A sign for this particular Sunday of Epiphany, and I'm a little confused.
It's a good hymn.
Yes, but is it Epiphany?
Yeah, it's still the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany.
No, I know
we're getting close to Lent.
Is the hymn dealing with Epiphany?
So we're no, it's to... it's under the subtitle of Society.
Yes.
It's a good hymn. It's appropriate.
Well, it may be a good hymn, but we'll have to see. Because the Epiphany is supposed to be manifesting Jesus. And so let's kind of take a look at that. Do you want to tell us about the life of the author?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know anything.
So we'll skip that. Somerset Lowry, he died in 1932. Wow.
Yeah.
So this is the text. The tune, and we should have used the one in the hymnal, but it's not up on the internet because it's done by Henry Gehrke.
Yes, and I really prefer that
tune. Do too.
But that was a nice one that you played. That
was okay, nice too. That was sung by Wisconsin Synod Martin Luther Morning Chapel. So, would you please? Because I still can't talk. Would you please read the first stanza?
Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh whose birth among us hallows all our human race. You are head who throned in glory for your own will ever plead. Fill us with your love and pity, heal our wrongs and help our need.
Yes, been reading quite a bit. There's two places I always like to go to see what contradicts Lutheran theology. The first is the obvious the religious page in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about that on Thursday with Wes Reimnitz.
Well, what was, just generally, what was it?
It was a so-called Christian religious professor. And it was at a Muslim place, uh-huh. And all kinds of religions were there. And the very first point he made is that we need to stop thinking that our religion is better than others.
Oh, boy. Mm.
You know, that'd be great to have him as an advertiser for restaurants. Yeah, do not think that Ruth Crisp. And you know, every time I take...
It always comes around to food, doesn't it,
Tom? Well, because for our anniversary, I take Louise out to White Castle. Now, see, even you're laughing. Because, yeah, White Castle, I mean, I like them. But boy, are they expensive. Used to get five for a dollar. Now it's one for 95 cents. Oh. But at any rate, this is ridiculous. It would be like you trying to sell a car, but you say, well, I don't want to say anything wrong about other cars.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, this is
Oh, I know.
This is the most important thing in life.
Absolutely. Your faith is, you know, what you believe in.
And
it's
makes,
what you stake your life and your destiny on.
Yeah, the other one you'll really love is the goal. You don't have to be a Christian to understand that Jesus' goal here on earth was to make this earth the kingdom of God. Right here. Utopia.
Yeah. Oh, well.
See, that's what every religion outside of Christianity is trying to do.
Jesus told Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right. And you'll always have the poor with you. You'll always have wars and rumors of wars.
That's right.
You know, so... taking a look at the first stanza, Son of God, Eternal Savior, here's my question. It says, hallows all our human race. So that means everybody's going to heaven?
No. The fact that, you know, the fact that the God of the whole universe took on human flesh, it's, you know, it's...
Well, the question is, how did he hallow all our human race?
Well, by atoning for our sins on the cross. That's how he atoned for the whole human race.
Well, how come everybody doesn't go to heaven?
Well, because that's objective justification. We call it objective justification.
Excellent.
He redeemed everybody.
Yes.
But it's only those that accept that redemption by
through
grace
faith.
Through faith
yes.
that are finally saved.
Yeah, that's really important. I talk about a young man who's just really abused by his father. So as soon as he's old enough, he leaves home. About 10 years later, never visits his father. A lawyer calls him and says, your father died and he left you $100,000 in his will, but you have to be at the reading of the will in order to receive it. And he says, no, I don't want to have anything to do with him. I don't want any inheritance from him. I'm not going to show up. So my question is that $100,000 his money?
Yes. It's offered him.
Did he ever receive it?
No.
Because of his unbelief in liking his father.
That's right.
And that's the way I understand that when Jesus died on the cross, he gave the forgiveness of sins to
everybody.
Human being. All their sins have been forgiven, been paid for. And those who don't receive it through faith, reject it, those are the ones who don't go to heaven.
Right.
So you can still say the whole race was hallowed by Jesus.
Oh, absolutely.
That means made holy, because on the cross, he paid the price for every sin. What were the words? My God.
Why hast thou forsaken me?
Yes.
But Tom, not to pick at details here, but it does says, word made flesh, whose birth among us hallows all our human race.
Yes.
Is that... I don't know. Does his birth among us hallows all our human?
Good question.
We know his atoning suffering and death does, but does his birth? I take that to mean that you know, the fact that he chose to take on human flesh,
right?
I don't know if that atones. I don't know if that alone atones for the sins of the whole world, but it does. It does. What would you say about that? The fact that he chose the human race to become like.
Why did he become human?
Because he had to suffer and die.
That's right. A human can only die for a human. In fact, that's clear from Revelation 5, where there is a strong angel who is unable to open the seals.
Right. That's right.
And why is he? Because he's an angel. He's not a human being.
Right.
And then who does come on the scene? Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, namely
the lamb.
A slain lamb.
A slain lamb.
As though he were slain.
Jesus.
And that's his ascension there. So when I took the course with Martin Charlemagne, one of our great professors, called The Passion.
Right.
He began with the birth.
Ah, really?
Well, so does the Apostles' Creed.
Yeah, well,
if you stop and think about it, what's the first item in Christ's humiliation?
Conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Born of the
Virgin Mary.
Exactly. So that in and of itself is he humbled himself, took on human form. And as I keep correcting you, it didn't mean that he got rid of his divine attribute. Wait a minute. Or did you correct me?
No.
At any rate, he did not make use.
That's right.
Of his divine attributes.
I owe that to H. Richard Klein. He's the one that stressed that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I must have missed that.
He did not make use of his.
Yeah, but at times he did.
Yes, he did. Miracles.
Yeah, like not all of them. Sometimes he thanks the Father for doing something, but when he stands up and says to the sea, "Peace be still."
Yeah.
That's
Jesus. Right. That's his almightiness.
Or when he says to the
demons.
Excellent. Yeah. I tell you, come out of him, et cetera, et cetera. So, this is important. Son of God, eternal Savior, but he became a human being. That's why, in fact, I was just looking at something and they were trying to prove a bunch of these so-called theologians that Jesus was not the Son of God.
Oh.
You know, even the Jehovah's Witness Bible, every time they talk about God the Father, there's a particular word that means worship. They always say worship. But when that same word is used in relationship to Jesus, they say praise.
Yeah,
they changed the English so it shows he's not God.
If my memory serves me correctly, they believe he is the Son of God, but not equal to God.
Right, but he's part of creation.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, and
That's the Athanasian Creed, the Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, the Holy Spirit uncreate.
Yes, yeah, that Athanasian Creed was one of my worst sermons. First of all, it took 2 weeks, and all I did was go through the creed and show every Bible verse behind every phrase. And that was early in my ministry until I realized there's a thing called long gospel, and that wasn't a sermon at all. It was a pretty good Bible study. A lot of people asked for
good
copies.
Good Bible study, yes.
But there was no accusation, there was no comfort or anything. It was just pretty good. And we got to be really careful when we do sermons that we don't make them into Bible studies.
Right.
They can be part of one because you're explaining something.
Right.
But finally, you have to get to the law and gospel. It's kind of like a doctor telling you about a wonderful medicine they found in the Amazon that really helps infected toenails. But you have a headache. So great lecture, but no comfort.
Okay.
Kind of made
so
that
I'm
up.
Going to be thinking about an infected toenail the rest of the radio program.
Yes, it comes from infectus tonalis in the original Greek. Okay.
Infectus tonalis. Okay, ready?
Stanza 2.
As you, Lord, have lived for others, so may we for others live. Freely have your gifts been granted. Freely may your servants give. Yours the gold and yours the silver, yours the wealth of land and sea. We, but stewards of your bounty, held in solemn trust, will be.
Unfortunately, I had this theme in my sermon where I was talking about that I, as a pastor, freely give the message of the gospel. So at the end of the service, they didn't give me a check.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yes.
Oh, you heard about that?
I heard that yesterday, yes.
Oh, yeah.
You were telling us about that yesterday. No check.
I got to be careful with that.
There's no price of the gospel, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely
Thank
free.
Thank you, Pastor.
As it was, we're getting it from a different fund, and it hadn't arrived yet, so they're mailing it to me, but that's fine. In fact, even when I said it, that, you know, it's free, I almost said in the sermon, but that doesn't mean you don't have to pay. But I said, no, that's not appropriate in the sermon. So, yeah, this is really the difference between law and gospel. The law is always conditional in the sense that you got to meet a condition before you get the reward. The gospel is unconditional.
Right.
And there are so many analogies. For example, when you were born, your parents unconditionally gave you food and dressed you and all that.
What do you say to the person who says, there is a condition, you have to believe it. What do you say to a person like that?
I say, you must read Luther and Erasmus. Because Erasmus makes a huge point that that's something we do,
right,
is believe.
And but so, God even gives us the faith to believe.
Exactly. It's a gift.
Yeah.
Faith is a gift. It's not something. In fact, here's how I do it with the confirmation. I look at the guys in the confirmation class, youth, and I say, okay, tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the first girl that you see that's not married, I want you to fall in love with her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, do you notice what we say? When you met your wife-to-be, you fell in love. It wasn't a decision that you made,
right?
You know, on that basis. And I was just glad that she wasn't wearing glasses. So we went out on a date and we had a great time. But falling in love is not something you plan. It's not something you will. And believing in Jesus Christ is impossible for an unbeliever to do until they have been granted that gift of faith.
That's right.
Which comes about by hearing what?
The gospel.
Exactly. Not the law.
Right.
And the gospel is really pretty good. So anything
it's
else?
It's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, I would say.
The gospel's pretty good.
It's free. Yeah, anything free. Boy.
Nice to know it's pretty good.
Now, where do we find yours the gold and yours the silver?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's, I don't know why, but I love that verse.
Well, you know why? It's out of the Bible.
Yours the gold, yours the silver, yours the wealth of land and sea. We but stewards of your bounty, held in solemn trust will be.
See, I think this is more of a hymn. I'm having trouble seeing it for Epiphany. It's more stewardship kind of thing and how we deal with society.
Yeah, that is there, undeniably.
The only place it comes is Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Right.
Yeah, but notice, unlike that one hymn, Manifested, that appears 11 times.
Yes.
They always point to a Bible verse or an event or a miracle that show how he revealed himself. Here, I think the revealing is that freely have your gifts been granted, freely may your servants give. But see, you move.
Why do you think they chose this as the appointed hymn of the
day? I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I'm trying to think.
You.
The lessons are. Let's see, I was looking over them yesterday. The lessons are, of course, the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13.
Yes.
Jeremiah 1.
Yeah, and that's all about I formed you in the womb.
And Luke 4. Luke 4 is the gospel.
Yes. And that's where he goes to Simon's house and heals Simon's mother-in-law.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Simon Peter, right.
And he's in Capernaum. Capernaum was, what, a Gentile or Jewish town?
One of the fishing villages of Galilee. That's where Peter had his home there. That's where Jesus had his home base.
Remember, though, it was a centurion there that built the synagogue.
Yeah. You know, I remember reading that they think they found Peter's house there. They think they found the actual location of Peter's house because an ancient church had been built upon it. And they feel fairly certain that must have been the place of his house. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, it's too bad that Jesus waited until the end of the Gospels to give him the keys. Probably going to get in. All right, stanza 3.
Stanza 3. Come, O Christ, and reign among us, King of love and Prince of peace. Hush the storm of strife and passion, bid its cruel discord cease. By your patient years of toiling, by your silent hours of pain, quench our fevered thirst of pleasure, stem our selfish greed of gain. I love that verse, too.
Well, there you do have a little bit more revelation of who Jesus is. Come, O Christ.
And reign among us.
And the word Christ, of course, is the Greek word for Messiah. Then he's King of love and
Prince of Peace, yes.
Does that sound familiar?
That sounds very familiar, yeah. It's always, I always like to use the hymns that have Prince of Peace in them.
Why is
but
that?
You know, I really like, well, I
that's
really
the name
like
of your church.
That's right, but I really like that line, by your patient years of toiling, by your silent hours of pain. There's the cross.
Yes. You can't have a Lutheran hymn without the cross.
Without the cross.
Yeah.
Got to have the cross.
And many people say you also need the resurrection, which, of course, is clear here, too.
Yes.
So that's a good one. Final stanza, 4.
Son of God, eternal Savior, source of life and truth and grace, Word made flesh whose birth among us hallows all our human race. By your praying, by your willing, that your people should be one, grant, O grant, our hope's fruition. Here on earth, your will be done.
Notice that the half of the verse is identical to stanza one.
They repeated that line, didn't they?
Yeah. But again, you've got the manifestation of Jesus as Son of God.
Eternal Savior.
Eternal Savior. Also, source of life and truth and grace. What did you say? I am the way, the truth.
The truth and the life.
Yes. So what Samuel Lowry does here is he really puts together a lot of Bible verses. You know, they always have a few Bible verses, and here it's 1 Peter 1, Hebrews 7, John 13, and 17. But boy, oh boy, there's in this one, you could probably run up about 30 Bible verses.
Right. It's a beautiful hymn. I love it.
And that's where the gospel is. He's the source of life and truth and grace. That's why when you get to heaven, to whom will you give all the credit to for your salvation?
Christ.
Yeah, because he's the source. And Word made flesh, we already talked about that. But then the new part is, by your praying, by your willing, that your people should be one, grant, O grant, our hope's fruition, here on earth your will be done. Where did I talk about that? Yeah. If you ask most people, does Jesus continue to pray?
Yes.
They would say no.
Yeah, he's our prophet, priest, and king.
Yes.
He appeals for in our behalf at the right hand of his heavenly Father.
And where are we when he's appealing?
Well, we're here on this earth. We're there with him.
That's right.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Remember
all right.
Ephesians?
Yes.
We've already ascended
right.
with
that's
him.
That's right.
And that's why.
But we're still in the church militant.
Well, that may be. But the fact of the matter that in Christ, you are at the right hand of God already.
That's right. I agree.
That's why when you pray, you don't have to go back to somebody's body buried in the grave, like Mary or somebody like that, to get your prayers answered. You go directly to Jesus.
That's right.
Who is with you. And why do we know you're at the right hand of God, not only because of Ephesians 2, but because one of the analogies God uses is that we are part of the body.
Body of Christ.
Who's the head?
Christ.
And where the head is, so also
so
is
the body.
Yeah.
Right. You're right.
So, what do you mean you're right? Oh. I mean, how many times do you say that?
Well, it's kind of the price you have to pay of working with Tom Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, we should call this Everybody Loves Tom.
You ever watch that show, Everybody Loves Raymond?
I love it.
You like that show, huh? My wife watches that show a lot. It's funny.
No, it is extremely funny. just because it is, I mean, his wife is so much like Lou. Oh, well, never mind. Okay, so. And your wife, who's she like? Oh, Marie.
No.
Oh, there. It's really well done. And that was one of the saddest days when they had their last item.
Yes.
And were you preaching?
I'm preaching at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, my congregation here in Crestwood, just south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection. We have a Saturday evening service at 5 p.m. and a Sunday morning service at 9 a.m. We'd love to have you. People are friendly. It's a very friendly, loving congregation, and I look forward to using this hymn this Sunday.
Okay, and I'm going to be seeing some of you, because we have people who are not members of Emmanuel Olivet, at 11 a.m., Emmanuel Olivet, we're doing a study on Revelation, one often used in funerals. And so we're going to be taking a look at that. And tomorrow we'll have Insight Wednesday. I'm Tom Baker, and for Mark Smith, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.